Well, thank you for having me this morning. I come to you from, I live in Costa Mesa, have for the last 25 years. I've served churches in, I came out of the Hollywood First Presbyterian Church years ago and served churches in Seattle, Washington and Downey before I came to Costa Mesa. And from there, I retired a couple of years ago. It's been a great ride. Since then, I fell into responsibilities that our presbytery gave to me in helping to merge the Irvine Presbyterian Church with the Shepherd's Grove Church, which is the remnant of the former Crystal Cathedral, and have met some amazing people along the way. And so I bring you greetings from Shepherd's Grove, the newly merged Presbyterian Church in Irvine, and welcome you anytime you want to come, but we'll pray for you in Anaheim. And I thank Kim for this opportunity to come on Epiphany Sunday. We'll explain a little bit about what that means a bit later, but it comes to us as the Sunday of light, represented by the symbol of the light, the star that led the three magi, the three kings, the three wise men, or as my grandchildren calls them, the wise guys. But it's that event that led these three Gentile kings or magi to the Christ child that we celebrate today. And in effect, it is a sign that the gospel has come, the person of Christ has come as the light to the whole wide world. And so we'll be talking about that this morning. The story we read each December tells of the coming of God's truth and grace for all people. It's mysterious in some intriguing way, yet it's very definitive in telling us that the holy light has shined in our darkness. Now, how can we learn from the scriptures that are given to us about what it all means? I've chosen two scriptures selectively from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, and then a verse from John chapter 8 in the New Testament. And I'd like you, as I read these, to have images that flash in your imagination. The pictures, the way the Bible describes the story is done in picture language most of the time. So listen and imagine the picture that Isaiah and John present for us. Isaiah 9, verse 2, and then verses 6 and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And then verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And then turning to John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to the people, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The word of the Lord. You know, Isla, I'm so happy that you left the decorations up for me. I really appreciate that. I hate to see the lights and the decor disappear so quickly. As a young lad growing up in Hollywood, I was always disappointed when it was set up in sometime in late November. All the Christmas trees down Hollywood Boulevard were illuminated with lights and decorations all over the city. And then it increased and enhanced all the way up to the end of December. And then it was gone. And I thought, what happened? We should leave those up a little bit longer. But it just commemorates what we enjoy in the medium of lights. Among the metaphors we find in the scriptures is that of light coming into the darkness. What does this light mean as we read about it in scripture, as we experience it in the life of the church? Jesus, as we've seen, refers to himself as the light of the world. He echoes John's opening words in his gospel about the light of God. And John tells us earlier in his gospel that the darkness has not, nor will it ever, overcome the light. So we're on to something. Is this simply an inspirational metaphor that John gives us, or that the scriptures give us? If not, how does the coming of Christ make an illuminating difference now for you, for me, for us together? I started thinking about light. And what does light do? First of all, I think light brings clarity, doesn't it? When it's dark, we can't see our way, light shines and there's a clearer picture of what reality is. According to the scriptures, darkness is accompanied by confusion, uncertainty, chaos, and fear. Light brings truth, clarity, illumination. Illumination that makes things clear. The other day, as I was thinking about this text, I was sitting in my chair reading. I have a rocking chair. Is it when you get to be a certain age, you're entitled to a rocking chair? So I was rocking away and I had a light on, but it was away and it was a low voltage light. And I was having trouble reading the text. So I had to get a brighter setting on the light and then I could see the text in a clearer way. And I'm finding that I need to do more and more of that as I get older. I need to have more illumination for my reading. But in life, when we see the way things truly are, it gives us a greater understanding of what's before us. Christ came to bring us a clear view, a sharper understanding of the realities around us. For the Magi, who came from the east, it says, they read the messages in the heavens. A child, the message said, was being born, King of the Jews. And they were being directed to him and to bring gifts and to worship him. And they followed the light. They followed the star to get to where the child was. They sought and it brought them greater clarity as they came near. But it brought them also into confrontation with Herod the king, which was not an easy encounter. Light brings a clearer understanding, while darkness brings confusion and chaos. But light and truth is not always what we want to hear. We'd like a little bit of light, but maybe not as much light as the Messiah brings. John in the third chapter writes this, and this is the judgment, the justice of God, that the light has come into the world and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come into the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. As I said, we are attracted to some light, just enough light so we can make our way, but let's not go overboard here, because our fear is that there will be things exposed that we don't want exposed. Light exposes everything. And any denial of the truth or deception is over. Light and truth are not easy to experience. The truth is often painful, but it's only after we know reality, that we can then move forward. But we know the end result, don't we? In the end result, in God's plan, the light will prevail. In John's first chapter, he says, "The light has come into the world, and the darkness has not overcome it." Light brings clarity. But light also is a sign of God's glory and goodness. Light itself is not to be worshipped, but light is like a sign that points us to the brilliance of who God is and what God has done. In our culture, we have such an example of how light is used in our world. As I said, I grew up in Hollywood as a young lad, and whenever we had big events in Hollywood, like premieres or the Oscars or whatever, they always would cart out these enormous lights that were probably 8 or 10 feet across, and they had to bring them by tractors to the theater or the venue wherever the event was taking place. And then they'd light this thing up, and it would just blast into the sky. And we'd go out at night, and we'd look, and we'd see, where are the searchlights tonight? That's what we called them, searchlights. And we'd go, we'd follow the light down the beam, and we'd go to where they were shining a light on the celebrities that were being honored. They were bringing glory of sorts to the actors or the actresses. I guess we call them all actors now, don't we? The people, the professional people that were being honored, the celebrities. But it was the light that led us to give glory or give celebrity or give honor to the people who were at this event. Remember the shepherds in the field. We sang about them in the opening hymn. The angel of the Lord appeared in this glorious light. And did the shepherds celebrate? Say, oh boy. They were freaked out. They were terrified, is what the Bible tells us. The glory was so overwhelming. Yet with the shining glory came these words, this song to clarify, to bring a deeper understanding. I bring you good news, said the angel, good news of great joy for all the people. To this day in the town of David is born a Savior who is the Messiah. Go and you will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. They came to worship because the light led them there. The light pointed them to the glory and goodness of God. And this kind of a scenario goes throughout Scripture. It's in Isaiah when Isaiah appears before the throne of God and he falls on his knees. It follows through all the way to Revelation, the end of the scriptures in the New Testament, where John testifies how God's glorious light shines and the entire creation, including all of us, bows in worship. You ever hear the experiences of those who have actually died? And then for some reason they are resuscitated or they've been brought back to life, and how they tell you what they saw. In almost every case, they see something of a bright light, a white light, some have said. And they can't quite explain it, but they see this bright light and they discover a sacred sense of what they say in many cases they interpret as God's presence. But it's this bright light. This is what happens when we come into the presence of the holy. We experience in a tangible way the brilliant magnificence of the grandeur of God. There may not be many of those experiences. We may not all have experienced that. Perhaps only a few. But it leaves, I'm told, a lasting impression. So light brings clarity. Light provides us a sign of God's glory, pointing to God's glory and goodness. And finally, the light provides us direction. God's light opens a path. And it happens early on in the Old Testament when the Israelites are in the wilderness. What does God provide? He provides a bright white cloud that leads them by day and a bright glowing flame of fire that leads them by night out of slavery, 40 years to the promised land. The Magi, these foreigners, follow the starlight to find the Christ child. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The light of God's word gives us God's way forward. And it can lead us if we follow it through the darkness. In our confession earlier on, Dale, which you led us in, it says sometimes we're not open to that path because the light is frightening. The light is threatening to us oftentimes. But when we follow God's way forward, it leads us step by step through dark places. Whenever I read this, I think of when I was at Hollywood High School in 1965. I'm dating myself here. I was chosen to be a representative on behalf of the American Legion in Hollywood to attend California Boys State. It was an annual event held in the state capital in Sacramento, and they chose two of us from our high school to go and be part of this delegation of, I don't know, 600 or 700 young men. And they housed us at that time. I think they do it now at Cal State Sacramento. At that time, they housed us in the barn where the state fair held their cattle. So I felt a little bit like the Lord when he was born, I suppose. But in this barn, they had these partitions and different stalls laid out, and so they had bunk beds in these stalls. And then they broke us out into cities and counties, and we had this mock state government set up. And I remember I was still kind of a shy kid, but I was there and I was thrown into this city with people I didn't know. And the first night I woke up and I sat up in bed. It was dark, just pitch dark. And I didn't know where I was. And then I suddenly, oh yeah, I'm in Sacramento. And I needed to find the facilities for some reason. And so I sat up and I looked around, and I didn't know where the facilities were. So then I panicked, and then I saw a light over in the corner of this large, large area. So I started walking towards that light, and it was the facility. So thank goodness, you're right. And so I took care of business, and then I turned around to go back. And I thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I didn't remember my steps back. But then I found enough light to find my way back to my bunk. And I just bowed and thanked the Lord for being my light in that terrific, threatening situation. But I think about that. When we need light to find us direction, perhaps that's true in your own life. At times, that direction comes as a warning. Heads up. The other night, I was driving down a large street in Costa Mesa, Harbor Boulevard. I looked up and there were flashing red lights by the side of the road. So I slowed down. And I'm glad I did, because there was a traffic accident. Sometimes that light comes as caution, warning. Remember the story of a battleship at sea on maneuvers. And the seas were rolling, stormy seas. A sailor on watch that night reported to the captain, who remained on the bridge. He said to the captain, "Captain, there's a light ahead off the starboard bow." The captain replied and asked the question, "Is it steady or is it moving?" The lookout said, "It's moving." Captain then ordered, "Signal them that we are on a collision course and order them to change their course 20 degrees. "Aye, Captain," he said. Then the reply came back, "Advise that you change your course 20 degrees. The captain stood up and he said, "Tell them I am a captain. Change your course 20 degrees. So he did, and then came the reply, "I am a seaman second class. You must change your course 20 degrees. And the captain furiously shouted his next order, "Send it to them right away. I am a battleship. Change your course 20 degrees. Then the reply came back, "I am a lighthouse." So the captain turned and ordered his crew change course. Sometimes light comes as a warning. God's word is true, and it directs us through life. "For this command," it says in Proverbs, "is a lamp. This teaching is a light and correction that and instruction and leads the way to life." John the Baptist, we are told, was a light from God, one who showed direction and who issued warnings to Israel. His father Zechariah prophesied about the future of his son. "And you, my child," he said, "will be called a prophet of the Most High, to shine on those living in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our way into the path of peace." The path of peace. I've worked over the last 6 years with churches and pastors in Syria and in Lebanon. I've traveled to the area 4 times. I've been in the midst of all of the events taking place there. And I'm just really humbled by the faith I see in these amazing people. They believe this light, and they relentlessly serve in the name of Jesus Christ in their area, in their parish. The challenges are huge and getting larger and larger, as we have seen in the weeks past. And they're often very defeating circumstances. But this group of Christian people living in the land of our Lord's earthly life, they courageously continue. And the church, believe it or not, whatever you hear, the church thrives in both of those countries. I even work with another who works with churches in Iraq. The church is alive, and we need to be praying for them. Especially, I was impressed with the Presbyterians' relationship to Presbyterians in Syria and Lebanon. We have a history of being with them through all kinds of circumstances. These people have experienced a sea change in their world, and they need the light to show them which way to move. And so they continue to seek that light, and God is leading them as we speak and worship here. There's a lot of that uncertainty in our own country, isn't there? This darkness of uncertainty and even fear. Tensions are building by the day, and people are seeking direction. Where are we headed as a republic? We want light to show us. Jesus here speaks, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I spoke with a woman just the other day. She had a host of issues that were going on in her life. Her family, her future was in jeopardy. Would she be laid off her position at work? And she stared hard at me, looking for some light, wanting me to give her some kind of a direction. "Help me, Pastor. I just don't know where to turn." Her hope was that I might just give her the answer so she could move in that direction. But I couldn't. But I could point her towards the light. And I was reminded of that passage that we looked at earlier in Psalm 119. I shared it with her. "Your word, Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And as she read the scriptures and prayed and reflected, the light made her choices clear. God blessed her with a praying body of believers and a discerning wisdom. And when the time came to choose, she trusted Christ and she made the hard choices. The scriptures point to Jesus and are a directional resource. And as she leaned into what she was hearing and reading, things began to change, starting with her own life. It reminds me of the story of the little boy who went on a hike with his grandfather. And along the way, the grandfather turned to his little grandson and he asked, "Where are we?" Little boy asked his grandfather, "How far have we come?" The grandfather said, "Well, we've come to a fork in the road." And the boy said, "Should we turn left or right?" Grandfather said, "Sounds like you're lost." And the boy gripped his grandfather's hand and he said, "Nope, I'm not lost. I'm with you." He knew. He trusted his grandfather. God is our companion on this journey. We are God's people. There is direction and a glorious light leading the way. An epiphany becomes a celebration, as it was for the early church, proclaiming that the light of Christ came for the whole wide world. And we all become witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Anaheim, Orange County, and to the ends of the earth. God has a word for you as the new year unfolds. You may be like the boy with his grandfather confronting a fork in the road, but you know Papa is nearby. And you're looking for the light, and you might think you're lost, but you're not. For it is the God who said, according to Paul in Corinthians, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. First Presbyterian Church of Anaheim has been a beacon on Broadway in Anaheim for 150 years. That's a long time. Remember Epiphany Sunday today. And as each one of you follow Jesus Christ, continue to shine with the light of the world. Bring his good news and great joy for all people, that God is for us, not against us. And that the God who has accomplished our salvation in the cross of Christ leads you, teaches you, guides you, clarifies the way ahead. And as you bring relief and assistance and support to the poor and the homeless of this community, realize you're doing the work of the church. You are the arms and legs and the voice of Christ. In the words of Isaiah, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. He is the salvation of the world. His name is Jesus." Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for the light that you have given us. The light that allows us to live life and to step forward, believing that you have called us to new life in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to be humble, forgiving, compassionate people filled with the desire to seek justice and truth for all. God, thank you for your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.